Welcome back to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
Martin, we're continuing with the same story, the letter.
Yeah.
The movie about Laudato Si and its impact. I wonder what Martin Luther would say, Martin. When he received the papal bull, he said it belongs on the dunghill of papal decretals. I wonder whether he would use choice words like that in the time that we are living in.
I'm sure. That actually is very fitting.
No, you're naughty now.
Well, I'm also a Martin, so.
Yeah, you are a Martin.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are living in serious times, and we ask that you please enlighten our minds to see through all the nonsense out there, that we can still know that you are in charge and you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I think from the outset it is important that we understand that there is only one God and beside him there is no other.
That is of utmost importance.
And then he also says in his word, see, I tell you ahead of time so that when it does happen you will believe. Hmm. It is a prophetic book and it tells us what is going to happen. And as it unfolds before our eyes, we should be turning to the one God where there is no other. But the world has provided a smorgasbord and a compromise, as we have spoken about in the past. And this compromise has to reach a climax. And even if the pendulum should swing, the groundwork has been laid that it will swing in the direction of paganism within Christianity, rather than the true word of God, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So, call for unity around climate crisis. Is this a climate religion? This is what we started talking about in the last episode. So, let's continue with this story. So, let's go back to a clip from the letter.
Obviamente que la narración bíblica de la creación es una forma mítica de expresar lo que ha sucedido.
Although I don't practice religion, the experiences that one has underwater or in this world, if you take the time to just be quiet and listen and look, make you always wonder who's in charge and how everything got here.
Like, you look at the science and you can despair. But we also need the stories. We need the narratives that faith brings, the motivation, in order to take action.
Every major faith has taken up the challenge of addressing the environmental crises, and they do so through their stories and their narratives. The first big meeting of the faiths with the major environmental groups was in 1986 in Assisi, in Italy, the birthplace of St. Francis. We had all the major conservation environmental groups there, and we had representatives of the five major religions.
Laudato Si and the theology that underpins Laudato Si is about calling us into a deeper communion with the natural world.
There has never been an invitation from a pope to the rest of the religious world and the secular world to become partners side by side in addressing a major issue. That is unique. That's the turning point.
In the way that Pope Francis starts this encyclical, well, he calls it Laudato Si, praise be, from the Canticle of Creation. But then the whole first chapter, practically, is dedicated to Saint Francis of Assisi. Saint Francis, as a mystic, had that intuition of the created world.
Laudato Si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature. Specialmente Messer lo frate sole, Laudato si, mi Signore, per Sora Luna e le stelle. Laudato si, mi Signore, per Frate Vento e Taere, et Nubilo, et Sereno, et Omne Tempore.
Abemus Papam, Franciscum.
Francis? It's the first Francis in the history of the Catholic Church.
Nobody dared to take the name of Francis, because it's a challenge. It means that you will follow in the steps of Saint Francis.
Francesco d'Assisi, l'uomo della povertà, l'uomo della pace, l'uomo che ama e custodisce il creato. In questo momento anche noi abbiamo col creato una relazione non tanto buona, no?
Laudato si, mi Signore, per Frate Sole. I can say, even in my small way, that this is what I have experienced in my life as a Franciscan. The joy of possessing nothing, but enjoying everything.
Martin, I am at a loss for words. This is the worst form of paganism that you can be presented with. Brother Sun, Sister Moon, that's the old pagan sun worship and moon worship. Takes you all the way back to Babylon. Everything is taken back to Francis of Assisi, the guardian of nature. I thought God was the guardian of nature. I thought God was the creator. Mm-hmm. Who is this pagan entity that supposedly wears a Christian garb, that he should receive honors? He knows nothing. He is dead. He is in the grave. And Martin, this is what the world believes. And the earth becomes a deity, and the creation story, according to the Pope, is a mythology.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume that he is an infidel biologist, geologist, geneticist, whatever you want to call him. Because the Bible refers to the creation account in virtually every chapter.
Yeah.
The Bible refers to a universal flood, and Jesus confirms it. These people deny everything. These people are the enemies of God and spearheaded by the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes this man and names himself Francis, the guardian of creation. Martin, is there a plan? Is there an agenda that they have written in their script for everyone to read? And nobody sees it.
I think this is the culmination of centuries, of actually 6,000 years of Satan terrorizing the earth. This is the final. Because now he is against the true creator. So now he's put in a false guardian of creator.
So creation. I think I have to agree with Martin Luther that the letter is part of the decretals that belong on the Roman dunghill.
I agree. That is the letter that we have to study.
There's only one letter. And if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them.
No.
So Martin, when they talk about Assisi, and when they had that gathering at the Vatican, at Assisi, where all the religious leaders came together. And I remember I gave a lecture many years ago about the event of commemorating Assisi. Mm. And all of these religious leaders sitting on the stage, there already there was a push for the unity. And the very fact that they called it Assisi, which is a link to Francis, is already a precursor for what was to come.
Yeah.
This thing has been planned for a long, long time.
Definitely. I mean, we'll see now, but the canticle of creation that Francis of Assisi wrote was in the 1200s.
Now, if they're all sitting there in that long row at the Vatican, the Dalai Lama and all the religious leaders and, you know, the earth religions all represented, what if you put across the screen, there's no other name under heaven and earth whereby you may be saved? Would that not put the cat amongst the pigeons?
It does. I haven't put it in, but there's that whole news story in Germany now where there's on the top of that church,
where they restored that building and that text that was put there by the medieval king in the Reformation time period. And there it stands that there is no other name under heaven and earth whereby you may be saved. And the parliament is erupting because how dare you make a statement like this? Has the mind of the people been prepared
for, sure,
for the times that we are living in?
For sure.
So, Martin, the choice is between no other name. And I remember that Jesuit priest who wrote the book called No Other Name with a question mark. Mm. And then he proceeds to tell you that there are many names whereby you can be saved, directly going against the Bible.
It's scary because they've actually succeeded, just like you said. Now, these days, everybody can be saved in their religion.
There is no organization that is so evil and so corrupt and so deceptive to have ever walked the face of the earth and the Jesuit order. It doesn't exist. They are the enemies of God. They are the enemies of righteousness. And they are the enemies of humanity.
And the sad part is they do everything that it seems they're doing it for God.
Yes,
it's so deceptive.
But they're doing it for another God.
Yeah.
Because their words speak for themselves. Their actions speak for themselves. And their sanctimonious garb is only there to fool people. Mm. So let's have a look at the second clip that we have here on the letter. And it's quite lengthy, but then we have set the stage for our further discussion.
Ustedes saben que esas imágenes bíblicas son históricas con significado mítico, es decir, para ayudarnos también a captar los valores. Se estaba construyendo la Torre de Babel. Se decía que la soberbia humana en aquel momento, si se caía un ladrillo, era castigado brutalmente el obrero que lo dejó caer. Si se caía un obrero, no pasaba nada. Suplían con otro y seguían con el trabajo. Y esta es la clave de interpretación de lo que sucede hoy. Si se cae la naturaleza, no pasa nada. La soberbia económica, la soberbia del poder de unos pocos, que usa todo, usa la gente, usa la naturaleza, usa todo y destruye. Estamos viendo en este verano los incendios. Estamos viendo cómo los ciclones, los terremotos, cómo la naturaleza se empieza a quejar. La naturaleza grita. Deténganse. Deténganse. En este momento es la de salvar la madre tierra, ¿no? Y salvar la biodiversidad y salvarnos a nosotros mismos y salvar a nuestros hijos, ¿no? Pero no descartar a nadie. O sea, ante una política del descarte, nosotros no descartamos. Cada uno en su país, en su pueblo, en su cultura, tiene que buscar la manera de poder hacerlo. Vea, todos juntos, todos juntos.
Humanity has lived on this planet and watched it and observed it for thousands of years. We've learned a lot. We didn't call it ecology. We didn't call it conservation. We just felt that somehow here, there was something more wonderful and mysterious and majestical and powerful at work. So we called it sacred. And I think we need to bring that sacred back. Tapping into that deep need to feel that there are some places where the veil between heaven and earth is gossamer thin.
Taken, moved, because the first time I see this relic. St. Francis had a special attraction to rocky places like this one. In complete solitude, he needed to renew his contact with the very source of his life. He needed the contact with the absolute, the transcendent. It's meaningful for everybody, not just for believers or Christians. So we need to have a transcendent reason to care for the creation.
Martin, it comes to mind that the Bible says they worship the creature more than the creator. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it?
True.
And all the religions together, it doesn't have to be Christian. He's teaching the young people that the Bible is a book of myths from which you can take a few stories. Mm-hmm. But you can also take the stories from Buddhism, or you could take the stories from earth religions.
Yeah. Even evolution.
And we've been here for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. Every principle of the Bible, they negate. Then they come out with a Laudato Si prayer book. You know, even Protestantism in the beginning had the common book of prayer. Mm. And if you didn't pray that way, then you were thrown in jail. How dare you pray to God in your own words? So if you have these repetitive prayers that you can pray over and over and over again, and the Bible says, be not like the pagans who repeat over and over and over again. Imagine if you did that in your relationship. Every day you start with the same rituals and you repeat to your wife whatever you have learned to recite. Mm-hmm. Eventually, she will bonk you over the head with a pan.
He'll have to. I wonder if she'll chase me out of the house, maybe.
Correct. Now, I wonder whether Mary doesn't get bored with 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father, leaving the last part of the Our Father out in any case, because he shouldn't have dominion over everything in the kingdom forever and ever. Mm. So, Martin, this is very distressing that the whole world is moving in the direction of paganism, whether they belong to a religion or whether they belong to atheism. It doesn't make a difference anymore.
And they do it with the glue, climate change.
That's the glue.
It's for the common good and for humanity.
And it's earth worship. Mm-hmm. It is worshiping the creature more than the creator. Now, Newsweek reports on the 25th of August that for our sins of omission, 10 plus 1 climate commandments. Climate hope may not come from the 27th gathering of the world leaders on the issue, but instead from a nearby place of paramount spiritual power. A group of us recently came together at Mount Sinai to envision what message of hope and transformation religions can offer to humanity as we grapple with the challenges of climate justice. Now, this is very interesting. This is Newsweek. This is a secular magazine. And they're talking about 10 commandments plus one.
Yeah.
And our sins of omission.
Exactly. Remember our previous episode, we were focusing on the reality and the secular world, how that parts in. And we've mentioned, like you said, we ended off, is this actually a religion? Now we start seeing the climate movement, especially from the Tao Te Ching, is definitely more of a religious movement than actually a secular movement.
Now, isn't that interesting, Martin? You've summarized this, that one of them is keep the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Haven't we said this all along?
Yeah.
Which Sabbath is it going to be?
Of course, it's going to be the papal Sabbath.
It has to be the sun worship, because brother sun will be most annoyed if you don't worship him, and let alone sister moon.
Yes. And eventually it will start off by everybody can keep their own one.
By the way, but who is my mother and my brother and my sister, according to the scripture? Isn't it those that keep the commandments?
Yes.
And do the will of the Father? Well, emissions are down 30% over the Sabbath every week in Israel and are almost zeroed out on Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement, the holiest of the year. A global weekly non-carbon day of rest could reduce emissions of the world by a seventh and can be observed by different faith communities on different days. Honor Mother Earth. Christina Greer, 15, from California, says that climate change is a form of arson against the very home that nurtures our lives and that of all living creatures. And plus one, do not give up hope or the fight. When religious leaders of all faiths ascend Mount Sinai on November 13 during COP27, they will seek to touch the heart of humanity and deliver a prophetic message. Sinai power worked once before to fuel moral revolutions. It must work again. I just want to make a comment. Sinai, when the law was proclaimed, what was the first commandment?
No other God.
I am the Lord your God that took you out of Egypt. Very specific. You shall have no other gods before me. How many religions are climbing onto this mountain now?
Basically all.
So what happened to the first commandment?
It's gone. That's why it's got to be new.
We have to have new ones, right? Plus one. Well, Martin, we're laughing, but it really isn't funny.
No,
this is very serious.
That's the problem. We actually don't think people fathom how serious this is.
This is very serious because this is the final confrontation with the God of the universe. It is an affront to him that humanity should collectively, including his so-called representatives, set him aside as though he were of no consequence whatsoever.
You know what? This whole climate change is a Tower of Babel, because they're building this against God, because like Pope mentioned, we have to save ourselves.
Well, let's see how far he goes. Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development. In Sinai, a prophetic call for climate justice and ceremony of repentance. Religious communities and religious leaders have a key role to play in addressing climate change and climate justice, which requires deep transformation within society. So is it a religious movement?
Oh, sure, definitely.
Okay. Mount Sinai is a mountain whose memory and meaning loom large as a place of revelation in the collective consciousness of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and others. As an ancient sacred space, it was the site of prophetic experience and receiving God's message for the prophets Moses and Elijah in all three Abrahamic traditions. And the prophet Muhammad in the Muslim tradition. COP27, taking place in Sinai, can remind humanity of our sacred responsibility to care for God's creation. What makes a place sacred?
God.
God. Mm-hmm. But it's just been removed.
Then it can't be sacred anymore.
There can't be a sacred place.
It's the same as the Sabbath. If you remove God from it, how can it be holy still?
If you take Mount Carmel, it's a sacred place, but there's a Baha'i temple on it, which speaks about the wronged one. I took the black picture myself. Speaks about the wronged one. Who is the wronged one? The one that was thrown out of heaven, right? We come to Sinai in a movement of repentance and quest. We seek a new vision for humanity. What's wrong with the old vision?
Yeah, it's outdated and doesn't fit into their realm.
I thought it was to last forever. And he added nothing more, says the Bible. And these rules will stand to the close of time. Not one jot or one tittle will by any means disappear from the law until
everything
has been accomplished.
And what will happen to those that go and meddle with the words in the prophecy?
And it's easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for one jot or one tittle to disappear. But they obviously want to try and do their own thing. And we seek to receive and amplify a message of life-sustaining living and habits that humanity needs to hear today. The Elijah Interfaith Institute and its board of world religious leaders brings together some of the world's most prominent religious figures from Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, and the religions of India. That's all fine and well. And they choose Sinai to make a new set of commandments.
That's actually Satan making a statement.
Now, when he chooses the commandments, if they've negated them all, then obviously they're not going to take the Sabbath. They're going to take another one.
Yeah.
Vatican News, November the 3rd, 2022. Pope in Bahrain brings waters of fraternity to desert of human coexistence. He's a very busy man.
Especially for his age. He's had 39 state visits since his ascension.
Now, Latimer, speaking to Ridley when they were being martyred or before that, he asked him, who is the most diligent bishop in all the world? And the answer was, it is Satan. He's always at his post. He's untiring in his efforts. I don't know whether we should see that as a comparison, but we might as well. I am here in this land of the tree of life, he said, as a sower of peace in order to experience these days of encounter and to take part in a forum of dialogue between East and West for the sake of peaceful coexistence. The Holy Father, which is a blasphemy in itself, emphasized the importance of working tirelessly to confront the climate emergency and expressed his hope that the COP27 meeting taking place in just a few days, in fact it's taking place right now, would be a step forward in this regard. I am here today as a believer, as a Christian, as a man, as a pilgrim of peace, the Pope said, because today more than ever we are called everywhere to commit ourselves seriously to peacemaking. Peace, Martin.
Peace and safety and sudden destruction.
Now, is it only the religious world or must the political world come into harmony?
Does the Vatican have political clout again?
Well, didn't they say that he is ascending to the throne, basically, of the United Nations?
Exactly.
All right, so let's get the United Nations involved. Say yes to a world united amongst people, urges the Holy See. And this is from the United Nations webpage, as you can see. So it is necessary to pass from the strategies of political, economic, and military power to a plan for global peace. No to a world divided amongst conflicting powers. I believe that this war that is going on in the Ukraine is all part and parcel of the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
To create a mindset, we want peace. We finally want peace.
Exactly. Everything is affected by this war, apparently.
Yes.
So obviously, and it coincides with all this other. So you've got this chaos on the one side and this peace talk on the other.
On the other side. It is now up to each state party to key international agreements, honor the obligations incumbent upon them, and to implement such agreements. The papal envoy said, advocating for political will at the upcoming UN Climate Conference, COP27. So it's a union of church and state.
That's it.
Now, once you have the state enforcing religious concepts, and climate change is a religion, as we have seen, and it's a pagan religion, and it's against God, because it has a different set of commandments, and it reverses the sequence and turns that which is written for our admonition into a myth. Well, Martin, then you have the perfect recipe for a confrontation. Finally, he noted that the Holy See has deposited instruments of accession to the UN framework. Why do they use those words all the time?
It sounds so biblical.
It sounds like someone ascending the throne. Convention on Climate Change and Paris Agreement becoming a party to both prior to COP27. So there's a lot resting on this coming together of various groups. Now, I understand, Martin, that someone sent this to you. Just run us through this.
Yeah, they mentioned that they had this for quite a, I think in 2011, quite a few years back. They took these pictures in an old Jesuit church in Rome. And just interesting to me that this model is a temple, but it, you'll see, if we read through the description, it represents all the religions of the world. And on top is a statue of Jesus. But obviously, it can't be the real Jesus. It
must be a pagan Jesus.
Yes, and this fits in actually perfect with this Mount Sinai situation that we've got.
Yes. So Martin, here they have a model of a temple embracing all religions.
Yeah.
But there is a real place as well called the Pantheon, where they also have represented all the religions of the world in this Roman setup. So this has been a plan for a long time. And this was written to you at this stage, and I think it's worth reading, as this person put it, an old Jesuit wooden model of the temple covering all world religions in a Jesuit church. This is the Church of Gesù. This is the main church in Rome, the seat of the Jesuits.
Okay.
At the top of the dome of the temple is a statue of Jesus. Note, obviously, cannot represent the real Jesus, but the power of the Pope, apparently representative of Jesus Christ on earth, and stand above all religions and denominations. That makes sense. Surrounding the center of the dome temple are models of various temples of world religions, from mosques to synagogues. This model demonstrates the vision of the Jesuit order and fits into the context of current developments in the religious and political realm. So it has always been an objective of the Jesuit order to unite all the religions and all the political systems under the curatorship and leadership of the Pontifex Maximus.
Yes.
That is the aim of the Jesuit order. In order to do that, it must destroy the true religion.
True.
So it is the enemy of righteousness. Mm. They are the enemy of God, the most cruel, the most despotic order that has ever disgraced this planet. And I can give a quote from the Great Controversy to substantiate that for those that are saying that I'm overly harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And for that matter, I can give you 100 quotes from the pens of the reformers to say exactly the same thing.
And then you have to remember the current Pope is a Jesuit.
And we have nothing to fear from the future, lest we forget how God has led us in the past.
Yeah.
That applies to the whole Christian world and the Reformation, and it applies to the remnant as well.
As well.
Now, Martin, once we start talking about false Jesuses and false messiahs, let's just throw in what is happening in Israel.
I find it interesting that Israel's Messiah is possibly to be revealed very soon. The man in this video is known as the Yanuka Rav Shlomo Yehuda. He is uniting all the Jewish sects. He can quote the whole Torah. And not only that, but he knows the Torah. He has quoted the whole Torah without a single mistake, and then takes questions concerning the Torah and gives them an answer showing them that he is Yanuka. He has also been doing healings.
Martin, he can quote the Torah, but he also quotes the Talmud. Mm-hmm. And the Talmud has the very worst things to say that you can possibly imagine about Jesus Christ. And as to what the future condemnation of Jesus Christ is going to be. So evil and so bad that I do not even wish to quote it in this forum. So Martin, this is a mixture. And as soon as you have a mixture, you have Babylonian wine. And again, you negate the one who is the way, the truth, and the light.
And just think of the repercussions that this was going to have. Everything is pretty culminating into one great disaster.
As long as it's not Jesus.
But all these false Jesuses are actually appearing exactly as the Bible said they would.
Exactly.
Well, even if you take this mentioning that the third temple will probably going to be built next year.
Well, the red heifer is there. The perfect one, the equipment has been restored and rebuilt. They are ready to build that temple, and they want to start in 2023, as far as I understand.
And now you see how on time this Messiah is coming.
Now, not one stone will rest upon another. Your house will be desolate. Yeah. To rebuild the temple is a blasphemy. Because it negates the spiritual temple that has been built.
Yeah, and to bring back offering is also a slap in the face.
Then you negate the anti-type and you embrace the type. As far as religious festivals are concerned, they now all have to be embraced. Mm. And if we can embrace them not only in the religious sphere, but we can embrace them also in the political sphere, how much the better. And we have this great union of all religions that they are working towards. So let's look how Hollywood will further this issue and how the governments, including the so-called Christian nations mm-hmm. like the United States of America and the UK, are embracing the other religious festivals and giving them prominence through the media.
Yeah.
The time has come to recognize over 200,000 New Yorkers of the Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, and Jain faiths who celebrate Diwali, the Festival of Lights.
And when we take this period to acknowledge Diwali, We are acknowledging the light that is within us, the light that clearly can push away darkness, and that is why this is so significant.
We made this decision that this day that we've always known traditionally, as I came up in the school system, as Brooklyn Queens Day, now it's Anniversary Day, is in many ways it's an obscure day. It's a day that's been on the calendar for a long time. I think it's the perfect example, Assembly Member, of a day that we could substitute that for something much more meaningful, much more purposeful, and something that I think will have a great deal of relevance.
Thank you, and welcome to Diwali at the White House. It's wonderful to be here with so many friends. Why celebrate light on the darkest night when the moon is hardest to find? Because that's when we need it most.
These two, our president and first lady, have once again made this place a place where every American can celebrate and honor their traditions. Tonight, of course, we join with more than 1 billion people around the world to light the dia and to celebrate the fight for good over evil.
Well, Martin, they made it quite clear that what they celebrate is the light within. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible says of another individual, mm-hmm. I am the light of the world.
Yeah, that's Jesus.
That's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So is the light within us because we have light within ourselves? Who introduced that idea to humanity?
Lucifer.
So when you celebrate lights, you are celebrating the Luciferian initiation. And that's exactly what is happening in the world today. And the great convocation, the great day when he will manifest, 2025, according to Alice A. Bailey. Martin, are we living in interesting times?
Oh, for sure. Won't he be presenting himself as an angel of light?
Yes. So now, we can portray this as the king of the north against the king of the south, but we must remember that the king of the north, the end-time king of the north, under the papacy, represents all religions. So even if you have a pendulum swing towards a conservative Christian constitution, then it will still be a paganized Christianity because it will be based on papal principles. This is how clever this thing has been contrived. So the Times of India was very happy to note that U.S. Biden's host largest ever Diwali reception at the White House. Now, Martin, it's interesting that Biden wasn't the first. It actually says here, since the People's House started celebrating the festival during the George Bush administration. So there's another bonesman. It seems that the bonesmen are very busy with their little chapters and secret societies and secret handshakes and foul little rituals that they perform.
Doesn't matter if you're on the left or on the right.
Doesn't matter. They both are in agreement on this Babylonian principle. And then the UK, The Guardian, Rishi Sunak to become first British Prime Minister of colour and also first Hindu at number 10. And he's about to become UK's Prime Minister of colour and the first Hindu, both milestones in British evolution as a multicultural and multi-faith society. I have no beef with what people believe. Everybody is entitled to their faith and to study for themselves what is truth and what is not truth. But once they start drawing you in and paganizing Christianity, then it's time to raise a voice of warning.
That's, I think also, so acceptance doesn't mean conformity.
Correct. You cannot change a person's position in order to ensure harmony amongst the different systems. We can tolerate each other. We can live side by side, but we cannot worship together.
No, and we, especially because the climate thing is, like we've seen, a religion. It's, you cannot do it together.
No, you cannot. So Sunak is a practicing Hindu, although he has rarely talked publicly about his faith. He was named as the UK's next leader on Diwali, the festival of lights celebrated by millions of Hindus. And here we can see him performing a activity which aligns himself with the festival. Mm. So are these actually stimuli for humanity to accept all of these things?
Yeah, definitely.
Is the media playing a magnificent role?
One of the leading roles, actually.
All right, so we have the religious world, we have the political world. Now we must still have the financial world to be on board as well, right? So let's have a look at what these banks are doing. CBA expands rollout of carbon footprint tracker, with Westpac also signing on. So the bank, the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, has announced it will roll out a new personalized carbon footprint tracking service for retail customers following a successful pilot of the technology last October. So, Martin, are they going to put CO2 meters on you on a breathalyzer?
No, well, it's already on a card.
So the bank can provide personalized and granular information to customers about how their spending translates to a carbon footprint. Kogo founder Ben Gleisner said, banks are ideally positioned to take on the role of champion in supporting their customers to lower their carbon footprint. Now, since this is a religion, are they going to use finances to enforce it?
For sure. Definitely. They are the champion. That means no buying or selling if they don't let you.
Does it fit all into the prophetic picture? Mm-hmm. So in a highly competitive market in which it's hard to differentiate, banks cannot ignore this opportunity to stand out and to establish themselves as a lifestyle partner to the conscious consumer. Martin, they're going to force their religion through the financial system down your throat, whether you like it or not.
That's it.
Now, the funny thing is, we're probably the most carbon conscious of many people that I know. We use solar power. The reason why we use solar power is because the government doesn't provide real power, so we have no choice. And in fact, if we didn't have solar power, we couldn't produce these programs.
Yep.
Because the power's out all the time.
Yeah, sometimes 10 hours a day.
Sometimes 10 hours a day, you're quite right. And so we have reduced carbon footprints substantially. But to push me into the direction of a religious affiliation to this kind of thing is contrary to what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. So Westpac also announced today it will incorporate Kogo's carbon footprint tracking solution within its service offerings. Are they working together?
Yes.
Collectively? So it's all coming together.
All coming together. And I don't know if other countries are the same, but in South Africa, our accounting, our tax has got a new law, and everything companies have to fill in and abide by certain rules, and they actually have to report on their carbon footprint.
Yeah, let's have a look at another mega company in this regard. This is MasterCard. Press release unveils new carbon calculator tool for banks globally as consumer passion for the environment grows. Who's fueling that passion?
The Pope and his
advisor, backup. The Dragon. The new MasterCard feature enables banks to equip people with carbon footprint data and insights to help inform consumer spending and offer ways to contribute to reforestation. Well, Martin, we can all contribute by planting something in our own gardens.
Yeah.
I do not have to perform a pagan ritualistic ceremony as the Pope did when Pachamama was there with tree plantings and all of these issues. just do what you have to do in your garden and get on with it. So MasterCard has also issued a $600 million sustainability bond and recently announced changes to its executive compensation model to help accelerate progress around three global ESG goals: carbon neutrality, financial inclusion, and gender pay parity. Interesting, right? This is all in support of the company's goal of building a more sustainable and inclusive digital economy. Martin, if people can't see where we're heading, then I'm afraid they've lost their spiritual compass.
You see, and I just want to bring another thing in here. If you want to put the mark of the beast on a chip or anything, even if you don't take it, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. Or if you take it, this is the way it's going. That mark cannot be a physical.
No. That mark is exactly what Rome said it was, the fact that it has taken the authority of God upon itself and has transferred the commandment of authority from the Sabbath to the Sunday, from God to themselves.
That's it.
And then we have Sunak, of course, who is a champion of the digital currency. He is involved. You don't have to read it all. That's what he's going to do. He's going to call it Britcoin. And he's not the only one. All the other governments in the world have said the same. The dollar is to be digitalized, the South African currency, all the currencies in the world. This is a coordinated effort.
Exactly. To do what?
And it's linked to religion.
That's it. Religion, and to come back to the carbon footprint, and eventually that's linked to religion again. So you've got all those links.
Got it all. India to launch its own digital currency in 2022 to 2023. What's the rush, Martin? Why has this all have to happen before 2025? When their master will finally, hopefully, make an appearance. And they can all bow down and worship him. But we have been warned that when Jesus comes again, he will not touch this earth.
He will not
walk in here. And the elect will be raised from the grave and they'll meet him in the air because he's not going to walk down here. So when you hear that he's in the inner room, or whether you hear that he is somewhere in Israel,
in the desert,
reciting the Talmud,
then
don't go.
And
you are being deceived.
And he won't be on that Mount Sinai.
Definitely not, because God has been removed from there. The Washington Post: researchers warn that Christian nationalists are becoming more radical and are targeting voters. Martin, is this our pendulum swing?
I think so.
To another form of paganism.
Yeah. Once again, it's still under the same garb.
It's under the garb of an experiential religion. It's under the garb of a seven mountain kingdom on this earth, which is pure Jesuit doctrine. So when they all run with it, then the Jesuits will be well pleased because they're incorporating their theology into their thinking.
Yeah.
They have rejected the Bible. They have rejected Protestantism. They have rejected prophecy and the interpretation based on the word and logic. And they have embraced a pile of potash.
Yeah. It's a sad state.
But it's called Christian nationalism. And it will lead the world into a Christianized pagan religion, as opposed to the other world religions, where the countries have embraced their religions in their political sphere. The Islamic nations. Isn't Islam part of their political structure?
Yep. Even Bahrain.
Yes. What about the Hinduism? Hasn't India been declared a Hindu nation, and Hinduism is part and parcel of it?
That's it.
So, you know, it was very clever to slice out Pakistan, which is more Islamic, out of this so that they can actually proclaim these various organization. So why not have a Christian region as well, which has been thoroughly Jesuitized?
Yeah.
So, Grid, a Christian nationalist wave is testing U.S. secularism, overlapping religion and politics like never before. A nation of blue religion and red religion is causing some Americans to lose faith and others to win elections. The politicization of religion in the United States can be found increasingly in the highest places of power and persuasion, and at least along party lines. There is also significant public support to drop the separation of church and state and just go with, quite literally, church. Well, we already have governments working together with the pagan religions. Yeah. Why not with the paganized Christianity? Mm-hmm. As long as it's not true Christianity, the devil is perfectly happy. He wants you to be in your utopia of deception.
You know what? True Christianity, the biblical Christianity, will in any case never be there because we won't mix.
It will actually be there, Martin, but as a remnant, a lone but voice not, crying in the wilderness.
Yes, but I mean not as a state, church state entity.
No.
So true Christianity will never do this joining.
It'll never do it. You're right. It's interesting, this article from Fox News. Left-wing activist Harris, conservative, reading Bible. Steal book and rip it up. Protesters eat the pages. So Martin, there was this man. He was reading the Bible. They walked up to him, ripped the Bible out of his hand, tore the pages up and started eating the pages. They're taking the Bible very literally. Because the Bible said, and your word came and I ate it. And it was in my mouth as sweet as honey, but in my stomach.
Well, like you said, hopefully he internalizes it.
Yes, so hopefully he internalized what they read. Maybe they read something significant. But this is how ridiculous it is. I've seen videos of people kicking the Bible around. And there is just such an animosity between the two groups. And maybe this must grow to the point where religious laws become so stringent that anybody who dares to oppose them will face the wrath of the state. Well, Martin, let us wrap this up with a discussion of all of what is happening in the world and how Rome, for example, sees the role of the priesthood.
It is important because Rome is the moral compass of the world, and that a pope, obviously, with this whole letter that we've been discussing, seems to be the global leader.
He is the global leader, and you can see the position that he holds. He's always in the central position. He's always wearing white, representing his own righteousness and negating the righteousness of Christ. So let's have a look at the official teaching of the Roman Church regarding the priesthood. This is Dignity and Duties of the Priest by Alphonsus de Liguori, and declared a doctor of the Catholic Church in 1871 by Pope Pius. Now, we're only going to read the underlined portions, but of course they always have their saints, the epistles to the Christians of Smyrna. Saint Ignatius, martyr, says that the priesthood is the most sublime of all created dignities. Of course, Ignatius would be in there, right? So Saint Chrysostom says that though its functions are performed on earth, the priesthood should be numbered amongst the things of heaven. Now we must reiterate, a priest is someone who brings a sacrifice. Hmm. A Protestant minister cannot be a priest. He can only be a minister. He can only serve. To minister is to serve. But these priests are individuals that bring a sacrifice. What sacrifice do they want to bring if through one sacrifice Christ has already made perfect, right? So according to Cassian, the priest of God is exalted above all earthly sovereignties and above all celestial heights. I saw that little video of Biden talking to a young whippersnapper priest and calling him father. which sort of demonstrates, you know, this hierarchy. He is inferior only to God, Innocent the Third says. Do you have any quotes from the Bible here?
No.
No, only by these so-called saints. And Innocent the Third says that the priest is placed between God and man. I thought Christ was the mediator.
That's it.
And the only mediator. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. But here they've got someone else, right? But superior to man.
That's a problem.
That's a major problem. Let's just see how superior they can become. St. Denis calls the priest the divine man. That's a blasphemy. Hence he has called the priesthood a divine dignity. In fine, St. Ephrem says that the gift of the sacerdotal dignity surpasses all understanding. I admit that my understanding is exceedingly challenged when I look at the modern priesthood. Through respect for the sacerdotal dignity, St. Mary of Oignes used to kiss the ground on which a priest had walked. And the great John, who wrote the Revelation, fell at the feet of an angel, and the angel reprimanded him. But here we seem to have the opposite.
Yeah,
Martin, I am nauseated already, but for the sake of suffrage, we will continue. Divine, says St. Cyril of Alexandria.
We must maybe just emphasize, they're quoting here their most respected saints.
Yes.
It's not some obscure
document.
No.
Are the offices confided to priests? St. Ambrose has called the priestly office a divine profession. The entire church cannot give to God as much honor nor obtain so many graces as a single priest by celebrating a single mass. For the greatest honor that the whole church without priests could give to God would consist in offering to him in sacrifice the lives of all men. This is paganism. Mm. All nations are before him as if they had no being at all. So we are as nothing compared to a priest, Martin. Thus, by the celebration of a single mass in which he offers Jesus Christ in sacrifice, although he's been offered once for all and no more sacrifice is needed according to the scripture.
And Jesus was the sacrifice.
Yes. A priest gives greater honor to the Lord than if all men, by dying for God, offered to him the sacrifice of their lives. Jesus has died to institute the priesthood.
Oh.
I thought he opened the way to direct communication with God.
That's it.
Anyone who comes to me, I will by no means turn back. It was not necessary for the Redeemer to die in order to save the world. A drop of his blood, a single tear or prayer was sufficient to procure salvation for all. For such a prayer, being of infinite value, would be sufficient to save not one but 1,000 worlds. Martin, this is negating the sacrifice of Christ and reducing it to works. A tear would have done it.
Yeah.
No. Without blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus paid the price in its full. This is a blasphemy. Yeah. But to institute the priesthood, the death of Jesus has been necessary. And that is absolutely true. They had to kill Jesus in order to elevate themselves to the level of priest.
Yeah.
And they keep him dead through the Mass.
Yeah.
Because there is not one second on earth when there is not a Mass read to make sure, absolutely sure, that Jesus stays dead.
Mm. Who would want that but Satan?
Satan wants it. So the Mass is a satanic institution. And transubstantiation is an evil contriving because the Bible is quite clear. It is in remembrance of what he did, not a repeat of what was done.
And then we can remind everybody that this institution is the one leading the world to get unity and peace.
And these holy priests that are divine, and that the whole world could die and it wouldn't be as important as what one little priest can do. This brings us to another point. This is the 7th of November, 2022. That's pretty current, right? French Cardinal Jean-Pierre Ricard has been named by the Church as one of 11 serving or former bishops accused of sexual violence. In its report on October 2021, an independent commission set up by the Catholic Church in France, this is just one country, Martin, found that some 216,000 children have been abused since the 1950s, largely boys aged 10 to 13. The head of the panel said there was evidence that up to 3,200 abusers and evidence had been handed to the prosecutors in 22 cases where criminal action could still be launched. France is one of many countries where sexual abuse allegations have rocked the Roman Catholic Church. Martin, 3,200 abusers in my lifetime. This is since 1950. 216,000 children abused. Now, what about all the children that were abused and murdered in Canada or the United States or everywhere else in the world by those so-called gods whose ground has to be kissed when they walk over it? Martin, this is a diabolical system.
It's true, because you see, the problem is people can now say, yes, but there are people like this in every denomination. There's a difference, because like we've always said, you must see what the teaching of the denomination says. And we've read previously what this denomination says of these priests.
And what did they do with them throughout history?
Nothing.
Transferred them to another place where they continued their divine act of gracing the ground with their presence and abusing more children. This is something that is horrendous. And sin is horrendous no matter what denomination it occurs in. But this particular denomination seems to be the champion of them all. But besides the physical abuse, and this cardinal abused a little 14-year-old girl, besides the physical abuse, what about the mental abuse that has taken place of the world by implanting the most horrendous doctrines into the minds of men and taking them away from faith in a God that loves you?
Well, if we take it that this whole climate change is a mental distortion from this.
Now, the Bible has promised, Martin, that whatever is done in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. Whatever is done in secret will be made manifest. God has made sure that everything has been revealed. And in spite of it, they're going to choose the system. They're going to act as if none of it mattered. There'll be a momentary ripple. It will be swept under the carpet, and the world will follow this diabolical system all the way to perdition, unless they see the light.
Yeah, and they will do it with wonder. They'll wonder after it.
So, Martin, when it comes to this issue of what is happening in the world today and the new commandments that are being contrived at Mount Sinai, as for me and my house, we will serve the old, because not one jot or one tittle will by any means disappear from the law until all has been accomplished. Let's pray.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, what a horrendous system. And the world is following it like a festival of lights. But that light is not a light that comes from you. It is a false light. It is a Luciferian light. And I pray that the true light may take over the world and that many will see it, separate themselves from Babylon, and embrace the truth as it is in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.